Good morning. My name is Lisa. I work for Smart in Belgium, Brussels. I've been working for the company for 6 years. The whole team is really excited by our venue here because we've never been to this part of the world, and it's always very exciting to go and talk about Smart elsewhere. I really wanted to thank Peter Trigelas for his invitation and for being a great host and did a fantastic planning, so thank you so much for that. I'll be talking about Smart, and I'll try to explain exactly what we are about, what we're working on. And in the second part, if I have a little bit of time left, I'll talk a little bit about how we position ourselves dealing with the platform and the gig economy. I'm just looking for the clicker.
Would you like that clicker?
Oh, yes, I would. Thank you. So, who are we? Smart is a social company that was set up 20 years ago in Brussels. And our aim was to create a safe legal frame in the beginning for artists, but I'll get into that a little bit further in the talk. And then little by little, we discovered that we actually had something quite interesting that could fit other people than artists. So we opened up our services, and currently 50% of our revenue is coming from the service sector. We are operating on 9 different countries in Europe. Every time we set up a new company within a new country, we respect the administrative and legislation environment of that country. In Belgium, we have 100,000 members, and that's for the number of Belgium alone. And we have 17,000 stakeholders from the co-op. So I'll explain where that difference comes from. In Belgium alone, we have over 150 million euros of turnover yearly. So when Smart was set up, it was set up for the artists. And the artists have a very complex legal and administrational environment. What they are doing is they develop several skills, several professions. They become an employee of a theater company, or they become the employee of their musicians if they are a singer, so they get a fee and then they need to pay for their musicians. They have multiple employers on several times a month. Their revenues are really like a roller coaster revenue. So they have months where they will earn a lot of money, and they will have weeks and months where they do not earn any money because they are in rehearsal. It's also a community that is highly, highly mobile. And so the problem that community was facing is that they had a lot of problems of accessing the self-employed status, because being an independent, you're in need for stability, and artists couldn't just do that because their environment is very, very complex. And so what we decided to do was to say, okay, actually all of them just need to invoice and be able to take a fee off that invoice, and you need to take over that administrational burden, because we never met a musician that had a passion for accountancy. And so we just decided that we would take care of that, and at the time of their gigs, they would become an employee of our company, so they could actually access social security if they were working with our company on a long-term basis. And so that's what we did. We are operating actually a little bit like a car-sharing company, but instead of sharing a car, we're sharing a company. And so people can come to Smart, become a member of the company, and they can access a digital platform. And we created that digital platform because in the beginning, our promise was to say, we will take over the administrational burden of the artists. And so that's quite a bold thing to say, and it's easy when you didn't get started. But little by little, the paperwork that we were claiming to overtake of the artist became a real burden for the company itself. And so we got ourselves overflown by all that administrational and paperwork. And so after a while, it became way too expensive to make the company running because there was a lot of labor going on that had no added value but still needed to be done. And we actually got a grant of the region of Brussels saying, oh, you are doing a fantastic job, don't stop, and we'll fund 2 people for a year to give you some help. And the founders of Smart did a bold choice at that time because nowadays everybody's talking about platform economy and everybody wants an app and stuff like that. In the years 2000, that was still fairly new. But the founders decided that we needed a platform and that people could actually fill in forms, and that would be the contracts and the invoices and their expense notes. And so that's the tool that has been constructed, and it's a tool that managed our company to scale. Without the company, we would probably, without the digital tool, we would probably not be operating anymore. Or if we did, we wouldn't have been able to scale it, and we wouldn't be able to operate in a decentralized way. So on the platform, all the artists can make up their billing. They can make up their contracts. That means that it's a trust-based system. If somebody makes up a contract tomorrow saying, I'm going to France to work for 4 days, we accept that that's the truth, and so he will become the employee of our company for that 4 days, and he can bring in his expense notes, and he will be insured and covered during that time frame. So our business model is fairly simple on the slide, but it's a little bit more complicated in real life. We started as a social company, and as every company that's set up in the cultural sector within Belgium, we were a small non-profit company. Over the ages, our membership was requiring stuff that we could not host within that legal entity. So we started creating legal entities upon demand, saying, oh, you need that kind of contract, we need that kind of legal entity to do that. And so we ended up with 18 legal structures that were overseen by a foundation to make sure that everything within the companies went correctly. And so there has never been any money that has been redistributed to the different stakeholders of the different companies. All the money that is earned was always reinvested to make the company grow and to serve our community. We always take 6.5% on all the invoices that go through our company, and it's that money that makes our operational costs work and enables us to create new mutualized services. When we started our European expansion, we had time to rationalize the process. We didn't have to grow organically anymore. So what we did is we sat down and said, okay, how do we operate and what's the logical legal entity to be operating in the way that we are doing? And so it became logic that we should take the co-op model because that's exactly the way that we're operating in Belgium. So when we opened up legal entities elsewhere in Europe, we started them up as a co-op. And then as soon as we started that process, we knew that we had to do the conversion of the mother house into a co-op as well. But as it's a co-op, it takes time and you need to inform our membership and you need to do a whole long process with the members to make sure that the vision is this shared with the future stakeholders of that company. So the process took over 4 years and was completed a year and a half ago. And so that's why we only have 17,000 stakeholders and a member base of 200,000 people. So we only deduce 6.5% of every invoice, and we also ask people to join the co-op if they use the tool more than 3 times a year. So we do not charge people if they only want to try out, or if they only want to see if entrepreneurship is something that they are interested in. So the services that we have on top of the tool, because the tool for us is not really important. Everybody's really interested in our tool, in our platform, because it's the trend of the moment. But the tool for us is just a way to be able to operate, but we're a very much face-to-face company. So the first thing that is really important for us is administration and legal support, because all the members, all the freelancers working with us are in a very complex environment, and the work world changed a lot. We are facing a very scattered workforce that has a lot of troubles meeting one another. And so we try to take off that additional burden that is linked to their current work environment. So the first thing they have is a personal advisor, which is very important if you're self-employed, to have somebody who's always the same person that you can talk to with questions that are linked to the way Smart operates, but that are also linked to the way the career is going. We make sure that all our workers are insured when they are working, and we also have a private person insurance. We take on the responsibilities of the employer of all our freelancers, and we also have a legal department that will give them additional advice if they need some. The second thing we're very big on is financial support, because a lot of freelancers have a lot of trouble getting paid within a reasonable time. Often they get caught up in debt collection, and an individual has a lot of problems getting paid off big companies. So we took away that burden, and every one of our freelancers knows that he will be paid within 7 days at the end of his gig, because we have a mutualized salary guarantee fund that actually enables us to do that. So we're taking care of the debt collection, so they don't have to take care of that. And when people study our business model, that's often something that worries them a lot. But actually, you don't mess with big companies. You mess with individual freelancers. And so the fact of creating a collective dynamic and to have a shared company makes it that our problems with debt collection is not that big. We also do a lot of microfinancing. So it's important for a lot of freelancers to be able to upgrade their material, especially if they're working in software, IT, or even the photographers. The equipment needs to be changed a lot, and it's not a population that can easily access regular credit systems. And so we, within 24 hours, seeing how the person operates within our company, can actually microfinance that. And it's cheaper to do it within the company, and they get refunded of the VAT, because they can use our VAT as if it was our VAT number, as if it was their own. The other thing that we're doing is we continue to grow, and it's important for us. The European development is one of our biggest costs currently, and we will continue to do that, because as it has been said before, co-ops have patient business models. We do not have any capital investment within the company, and so we need time to grow. And it's important for us to grow because we are willing to reinvent solidarity amongst in the scattered workforce, and we're convinced that we should do that by reinventing social security. And for the moment, we managed to show that it's possible for freelancers to access the existing social security, and that we can build upon that experience. But we know that Belgium is quite small, and so if we want to have more traction, we need to have other countries that get involved. The other thing that we're investing highly on is creative hubs. I manage the Brussels Art Factory, and I also co-manage another project in Brussels. Everything that we're doing is bringing back collective dynamics amongst individual entrepreneurships. Creative hubs are a big part of that. So we create new workspaces where people can go and work. And there's a lot of peer-to-peer exchanges going on, people gathering. There's social contacts. We make groups where they can meet. We drink a lot of beers on Friday evening because that helps with social contacts, and we're from Belgium. And we also invest on permanent contracts, because one of the things that we've seen with our artists is that they still have problems, even though they can show that they have been working with our company for 2 or 3 years and that they have a regular revenue. The fact that our contracts are from month to month can give them difficulties to access loans or housing and stuff like that. And so by giving them access to permanent contracts, we actually ease that for them. And so we have special contracts for members who have been with us since a couple of years. So what we are trying to do is really to secure the careers of autonomous workers, bring back collective dynamics, and we would like to make sure that they do not feel isolated within their career. And in generally, we would like the social rights to be reinvented and to be adapted to the current way people are working. And we don't think that it's an individual responsibility for each one of us to take care of your social protection. And so now I still have a little bit of time to talk about a case study, and I don't have slides for that because I was not sure that I would get there. We have been involved, or we had to deal with the gig economy, because the gig economy came to us, as a lot of things within the smart movement. What happened for us was that from day one to day two, suddenly we had 15, 20 bikers a day who wanted to subscribe to Smart, to become a member and to get paid through our system. And so after a week, we were wondering what is happening, why are all those bikers here and how are they working? So bikers is driving bikes, is that correct in English or not? Okay, because suddenly I saw a motorbike and I was like, yeah, but I'm talking about bicycles, yes. And so we checked what was happening, and they were all working for the same company, which was Take It Easy and Deliveroo. Take It Easy was the Belgium Deliveroo, and then we had Deliveroo, who was the company that everybody globally knows. And we were really interested in that, because how comes that all those bikers come over? So we asked a few of those new members to come over and to have a discussion with them. And we quickly realized that their working conditions were very, very poor, and that actually they misused our system a little bit, because we're trust-based. So you log on the platform, you say, I'm working tomorrow. And they were not always filling in the forms correctly, which is a problem for us, because legally we are their employer. So if there's something not going right there, we become legally responsible for that. So what happened then was a big discussion inside the co-op, saying it's a startup, we don't like them, it's bad, and the very black and white discussion, we should not do that because it's not ethical and stuff like that. But then we said, if we are not doing it, they will be on their own, very much as the artists were when we started. And so it's just pushing them to be self-employed. And it's not a good thing either, because it's often students who have no knowledge at all about the legal aspects and the administrational aspects and the things that can happen over time. And there were no awareness, for example, for accidents, whereas delivering food under the rain, because that's the Belgian reality, very quickly is something that is extremely dangerous. And so what we did is we went to see the platforms and saying, why don't you employ them? And they said, oh no, we are the simple intermediate between the customer and the restaurant. We do not want to position them ourselves. And that's very much embedded in the platform economy. The whole startup culture is we optimize, but we don't take responsibility of our entrepreneurship. And so we decided that we would take them on because we saw ourselves as being the least worst solution for those bikers. we managed to negotiate better work conditions to be able to be their employer and to make sure that they were working in a safer framework than they were actually working in. So we gave them free helmets. We created an awareness program to make sure that they were aware of the dangers of their gigs. We made sure that they were paid at least 3 hours when they were available for the platform, which is important because most of those bikers actually do not get paid when they are waiting to deliver a restaurant, whereas they are very much engaged with the platform on that time frame. And the other thing that we managed to do is to cover partly the costs that are inherent to be a biker. They need a bike, they need a phone, and it's logical that the employer takes that in charge. So it was still not ideal. I will not over-romanticize their working conditions while they were with us, but at least it entered the existing legal framework, which wasn't the case before they arrived with us. We then contacted the unions, which was very surprising for the unions because it was the employer contacting the unions, and they're not quite used to that, and said, we need help on this case because this is their reality. We actually have, I think it was 95% of the bikers, so we have a global overview of this very scattered workforce because Deliveroo is not giving any information about how many bikers they have, how many accidents they have, and how many bikers are working on a daily basis. All that information was available within our company because we're the employer and we're a digital company, so you can extract those numbers from our company. And the unions were surprised but got on track pretty quickly. The idea was to create a, I don't know how you say it, but like a set of rules specific to that sector of activities under which all bikers would fall. And we were pretty far in that process when in Belgium legislation changed. And so they invented a new way of declaring revenues for the collaborative economy. And so Deliveroo stopped the contract with us and decided that all their members should go under those new contracts, which for us was really a pity because now all the drivers are back self-employed, running without insurance. And we're very much frustrated that things were put on a hold so close next to a deal with the unions. But the good thing with doing stuff, and that's very much how Smart approaches everything that we are doing, is we think once we have a study case in the hands. And we realized that there were a lot of weird things happening in the labor market at the same time. You had Uber, you had Deliveroo, then you had the impact of Airbnb, Facebook was suddenly the love story was over because you could see that there was a lot of weird stuff happening and that those platforms had a lot of impact. And then we met up with the people of the platform co-op movement who are actually looking into ways of putting platforms under a co-op model and see what that could give for the platform economy. Because basically, if you are a user for of a platform, and you could decide on your data, on your working conditions, on how value is redistributed, how would that look like? And we met up with the founders of that movement 2 years ago, and they were quite surprised because they had seen a lot of experimentation, but they never had seen a large-scale company operating. And suddenly we've met, and it was like a love story between academics and professional experts saying, oh, you're intellectualizing what we are doing and we are doing what you are intellectualizing. So that was really nice. And we're very much involved with them to share our expertise, to say it is possible. If you need a case study, just come and see how we do it. See how we redistribute value, how we deal with animating a decentralized company, because it's Belgium is small, so we're quite lucky. Brussels is 2 hours of train wherever you are in the country. But we have a lot of challenges in France, for example, because the territory is much bigger. So how do you get a community to still engage. And all of those things are things that we are experimenting with on a daily basis. And now they send us a lot of new kids that are interested in a new way of setting up, because I think there's a real opportunity with the younger kids coming out of universities. They are looking for purpose in their jobs. And we see a lot of people coming to our incubators and talk with us because they want to know how we did it. And we are strong believers that the real disruption of this age is to go back to be a little bit more patient and make things grow steadily. And we're trying to help people to do that. So if you need more information, that is our website. Our English website is just for foreigners, so it's not that well done. But you can always drop me an email and we can have a chat, a Skype, a coffee if you're in Europe. And I would be happy to have you over in Brussels. Thank you.